Right, time for a ticket tidbit. And Mark, we are travelling further than we have ever travelled before for this tidbit today.
Sounds like Star Trek, doesn't it?
Well, it's going to require a change of music because we are going into space. Yes, we are. Now, Mark, do you get excited when you hear that a new planet has been discovered?
Oh, yeah, I get this. It doesn't happen very often, does it?
No, I get excited as well. It's one of those things that it's just, it reminds you how small we are, doesn't it, on Earth?
Yeah.
Well, a team of astronomers in Arizona, we have them to thank for this. They've given this new planet that they've discovered a name which doesn't really roll off the tongue. They've called it HD131399AB.
Couldn't they come up with a better idea than that?
I know, like, anything would have been a better idea than that. It's so exciting, though, and it's unlike any other world ever known. Now, it's not on Google Maps, because it's about 340 light years from Earth, so it would take too long to focus and stuff. But it takes 550 Earth years to do half an orbit, and it's got three suns.
Three suns?
Yeah, which is cracking, because for much of the planet's year, they have triple sunsets and sunrises every day. Imagine three sunsets and sunrises.
It'd be great to go off your holidays, wouldn't it?
Be amazing. And great for Instagram pictures as well.
Yeah.
However, it is moving into 140 years of constant daylight.
Oh, you won't get much sleep then.
Not much sleep. And imagine if that happened here, what would IKEA do with all of the candles? That's what I'd like to know. What would we do with them? Melt them down, make steps?
Yeah.
But yeah, have a little look at that planet. If you've forgotten what it's called, I don't know how you could, but it's called HD131399AB.
Great stuff, yeah, and maybe think of a good name for it as well. I call it Avatar, I think.
Avatar, nah, it's been
done out, yeah.
If you Googled it, you'd get confused. It has to be a name that no one else has ever taken.
Right.
Like Sonjonomy or something.
Sonjonomy, that's a nice one, yeah. Okay, we pronounce you Sonjonomy. Okay, back to our conversation with a gentleman who's travelled to every country in the world. 193 countries, Henrik Jeppesen. He's in his 20s. He's from Denmark. He's Danish. And we've been talking about the different things, how he's got 11 passports and he's, you know, he's been to all these lovely places, hotels. He's roughed it as well, sleeping in airports. And he's also done some pretty spectacular train journeys. And that's what I talked to him about on the show, where he's actually been on these trains.
Yeah, if we start with Shongogolo Express, it's an adventure train in Africa. Quite comfortable, but you see a lot of stuff. And then you have the blue train, which is from South Africa. And when you travel from Pretoria to Cape Town, you don't really see much except the things you can see out of the window. It's mostly about the journey. It's a beautiful journey, but you don't stop places and where you can walk around and do stuff. So it's about the food, about the comfort. It's very enjoyable. Then I went from Pretoria to Victoria Falls with Rowers Rail. Kind of the same thing. You don't see as much as you do with Shongogolo, which is very much focused on the adventure, about seeing stuff, experience stuff. But Rowers Rail is perhaps the most luxurious train I've been on, with great food and a very nice, comfortable room. Then I've been on the Orient Express in Peru, to go to Machu Picchu. But that's a day trip, so it's a little bit different than when you sleep overnight.
Do you fancy a train journey, Mark?
Yeah, I'd like the Orient Express. I'd like to have a do with that.
Me too. There's one in Japan, which is called Seven Stars, and you have to actually apply. You have to pay for it, and then you get like a ticket, like a raffle ticket, and then they tell you whether you've managed to get on board. Mm. And if not, you get your money back, but not everyone even gets on.
Yeah. Now, as well as trains, you can imagine he's been on a lot of planes as well, and he's actually applied for the world record for flying the most airlines, but it's still not actually been verified.
No, it's a long process to get a Guinness World Record approved. They sent me a list, I think, of 10 different things I must do. Like, they need video proof, but I have not filmed myself sitting on these planes and walking into the different airlines. All the requirements came afterwards, but I have kept boarding passes, I have kept tickets, and, of course, my passports and things like that. So at some point, I think I will take all that to London and hopefully they will approve it, but with many world records, I think even there are people in the world, a guy that's been to every country I saw the other day, that actually flown a bit more than me, but I don't think he's kept all his boarding passes. So it's all a matter of these things. If you don't keep track of every single thing, you don't get the record Guinness World Record is very strict with these kind of things. So I'll just have to wait and see if I get a world record eventually. But that's not my main reason for traveling. I mean, having been to every country in the world I think 10 times cooler than many of these world records, like flying the most amount of planes in 5 days or things like that. I mean, there's so many extreme travel records which are not enjoyable. And I think traveling to every country is very enjoyable and something that, I mean, it changed the way you look at the world and things. So I would much rather do something that's enjoyable than chasing just for the sake of having a world record.
I met a guy once who had a world record.
Did you?
It was putting pegs on his face, how many pegs he could get on his face.
Brilliant, yeah.
Really painful.
Interesting guy, yeah. Now, as well as, you know, he said it's enjoyable traveling to all the different countries in the world. However, he's had a few bad experiences as well on his travels.
Yeah, when I was 17, I was robbed in Liverpool. Very inexperienced traveler I was. And yeah, I was sitting with a PSP, which is a portable PlayStation at Liverpool train station in the evening, and I think it was just 1 or 2 minutes, a guy grabbed it out of my hand and ran away. That would probably never happen where I'm from. I never locked my bike, I think, for 10 years or something when I parked it in front of the school in the small town I'm from. So having to get used to how things work and using common sense in big cities took me a while to figure out. That was some time ago. In the last 6 years, when I've traveled full time, only one thing happened, and that was in the Gambia where they stole my passport at a ferry station. I screamed and I also cried out very hard. So hundreds of people saw me, and I got my passport back by doing that. That was probably my happiest moment in my travels, or one of them, when I got that passport back, because without a passport in an African country, it can take a while before you, a lot of paperwork and a lot of, generally a lot of work before you can leave the country. So I was very happy to get that back.
Who would have thought Liverpool would be so dangerous?
never play your PlayStation in public in Liverpool. Now, he went on to tell me as well, this is Henrik Jeppesen, who's travelled to all the countries in the world, about one of the most dangerous places he visited, and it was in a place that I've been to as well, in Haiti, the city of Port-au-Prince.
Only a part of the city called Cité Soleil is the most dangerous place in the world, according to the United Nations. It's a very adventurous country, Haiti, very undeveloped, feels more like Africa. It's strange you have the Caribbean. When you think about the Caribbean, you think about luxury, great beaches and things like that. But Haiti is completely different, very undeveloped, like an African country, like I said. What is it? Cité Soleil. Yeah, I went in there with my tour operator, and actually them themselves had never been there. We went in there in a bulletproof car and drove around for 5-10 minutes. They thought it would be safe, and it was, but only a few kilometers or a few minutes outside of Cité Soleil, we had an accident, a car accident, and I wonder what would have happened if that happened inside Cité Soleil, because it is super dangerous.
It's fascinating stuff, isn't it? Henrik Jeppesen, he's in his 20s, he's been to every single country in the world. I don't know what he's going to do next. And we're going to hear more from him after the break, in about 3 or 4 minutes' time, so stay around for that. The best is yet to come. But right now, we are making a phone call. 2 tickets to Qatar with a 2-night stay, 5-star hotel, plus tickets to Qatar Summer Festival. Hopefully, it's ringing. Right, okay, I'm excited for this. I don't know this person's name. Do you know the person's name?
Yeah. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
Who's that?
Is that Ben?
Yes, this is Ben.
Hey, Ben. This is Mark and Steph on the ticket. How are you doing?
Hello, hi, Ben.
Mark and Steph on the ticket.
Now, Ben, we've got some good news for you. You're off to Qatar to the summer festival.
Woo!
Woo!
Whoa!
Hey!
Wow,
yeah!
Thank you very much.
Whoa!
Amazing.
Well done. Stay right there, Ben. We're going to get your details.